From NPR and Chicago Public Radio, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle, and here's your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl. Thanks, everybody. Thank you so much. We got a great show for you today. It's Halloween weekend, so we'll be talking zombies with legendary movie director George Romero. He'll be here. How to recognize zombies, how to defend against them, since this is public radio, how to try to reason with them and come to mutual understanding and respect. We'll call them zombie Americans. But also in honor of Halloween, today in our theater we are dressed up as our favorite news stories. I am dressed as Sarah Palin's upcoming book. I'm wearing a nice jacket, but I won't be making any sense. And Carl, as the audience here is thrilled to note, came as Levi Johnston.
A little cold in here, right?
Yeah, it sure is, Carl. We just want you, just as you are, though. Give us a call. The number, 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. It's time to welcome our first listener contestant. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Gwen Marion from Pinckney, Michigan.
Hey, Gwen, how are you?
Good. How are you, Peter?
I'm fine. Where's Pinckney?
It's kind of near Ann Arbor.
What do you do there?
I'm a copy editor. I work from home.
You work from home. Do you find that a little distracting? It's hard to work from home sometimes.
Yeah, especially with a two-year-old.
Oh, my God. So how do you in the world do you get anything done?
I really couldn't tell you. I get a little bit of help here and there, but, other than that, I just try to be patient.
Well, the two-year-old does some of the copy editing, too.
That's true.
That was the worst issue of Better Homes and Garden I've ever read.
I'm sorry. I'll talk to you about that.
Well, welcome to the show, Gwen. Let me introduce you to our panel. First, you know her from Saturday Night Live and her monologues, God Said Ha and Letting Go of God. Ms. Julia Sweeney is here. Also, say hello to the woman behind the advice column, Ask Amy, the author of the memoir, The Mighty Queens of Freeville, Ms. Amy Dickinson.
Hey, Gwen.
Hi.
And we are very happy to welcome back to our show the host of the Too Beautiful to Live podcast, Mr. Luke Burbank.
Hiya, Gwen.
Hi there.
Gwen, welcome to the show. You're going to play Who's Carl this time. Carl Castle is going to read you three quotations from the week's news. Your job, correctly identify or explain two of them. If you do that, you'll win our prize, Carl's voice on your home answering machine. Ready to go?
Okay, I'm ready.
You sound... I don't know how to put this. Reluctant.
I'm a little nervous.
A little nervous, okay. All right, well, that's all right. We'll help you through it. Here is your first quote.
Nancy Pelosi, you'll burn in hell for this.
That was Mr. Pelosi. No, I joke. That was actually a protester at the Capitol on Thursday. Speaker Pelosi runs the risk of hellfire for introducing what?
The new health care program?
Exactly, this House health care bill. It was an interesting week in the continuing health care reform drama. First, earlier in the week, Senate Leader Harry Reid introduced his bill, which had a public option in it. Observers could not have been more stunned if he had shown up to introduce his fiancée, Angelina Jolie. Then, a few days later, Speaker Pelosi introduced the House plan. The rules there allow her to do what she wants, which explains the robust public option, the expanded regulatory powers, and the subsidy for machinery to help bend her face into a smile. So liberals were really happy with all this, but then Senator Joseph Lieberman entered the debate, which is the same kind of buzzkill as your mother joining Facebook. Oh, here he comes. He said he would filibuster the bill, in effect putting on a homemade Santa suit and coming down from Mount Crumpet to steal the public option while Senator Schumer slept in his bed.
I don't know why nobody's talking about the public enemy option. Right. Which is to just literally have the rap group Public Enemy do all the medical diagnosis. I mean, Flavor Flav is...
Yeah, that's true.
Crazy like a fox.
I know. All right, here's your next quote.
All I'm saying is, we were not asleep.
That was Richard Cole. He is now one of the two most famous airline pilots in America after he and his co-pilot managed to do what on their Northwest airliner?
Oh, they lost track of time.
Oh, yeah, they did that. And what happened?
kind of overshot things a little
bit. Oh, they kind of did, yeah, a little bit. Northwest forgot to tell the passengers on flight 188 to Minneapolis that they're now charging $20 to check a bag and a $39 landing fee. The story of the plane that kept going has transfixed the nation. The pilots have offered a buffet of excuses as to why they flew right by Minneapolis and never answered increasingly concerned radio calls. Now they say they were both really involved with their laptops. Here's the irony. They were playing Flight Simulator.
I just think it pulls back the veil on this scary thing, which is getting in basically a tin can with a bunch of people with swine flu and hurtling towards the sun, which is how I understand flying.
That's how
basically
it works.
And even though these planes, they have this term fly-by-wire, which means they could theoretically, the new ones, could take off, fly, and land by remote control of some sort. I mean, the pilots could, I mean, they could be doing Sudoku in there. They could be, they could have a tanning bed. I mean, they could really probably do anything. But I don't need to be reminded of how sort of checked out they are. And I think that's why this story was getting so much play this week, because it made me think about something that I don't want to think about, which is my own death.
Wow, you went right there. Turns out, however, the whole thing was a complete hoax. The two pilots weren't even in the plane. They were in Richard Heaney's attic the whole time. All right, here is your last quote.
It was all on the line on the 18th hole, and I made a clutch putt, and now I'm $10 richer.
That was a woman named Melody Barnes. She was bragging a bit. She is, according to reports, the first woman to play golf with whom?
Oh, boy. I have no idea.
Well, she is a White House aide.
Oh, with President Obama?
Yes, with President Obama. Last week, the New York Times writes one of those tisk-tisk stories about how the supposedly sensitive and woman-friendly president of these United States never invites women to his regular pickup basketball or golf games. So he made up for it just this weekend. This last weekend, Ms. Barnes was invited to play. The last president to invite a woman into a foursome was John F. Kennedy, but he was not playing golf. So this is historical.
Wow.
Was it tetherball? Oh, it was really different.
Yes.
It's embarrassing that he did it so quickly. Like, why? It's, you know, they criticized him. He should wait a week, act like it's his own idea.
Yeah. Carl, how did Gwen do?
Perfect, Peter. 3 correct answers, so Gwen, you win our prize.
Well done. Congratulations.
Thank you,
Gwen.
Thank you so much.
She's a lady.